Postcast listeners. And Ray, good to see you.
Hi, Tia. Good to be back. Nice to be back on the CPH Postcast. Did I finally get it right this time?
I think so.
Good. I usually mess that up right at the start of the show. Why don't you tell people what we have coming up on this edition?
We're going to have a very interesting show today. We promises, will start with news, promises. As always. And we will have, we're going to have a new, completely brand new, shiny segment on our show.
Oh, no.
Okay. In which we are going to test myths and items. Basically, test anything.
Okay.
And we're going to call it Ray.
Why is this a thing? It really is something that pops up a lot when you're on social media a lot. There's all these life hacks and this great idea and do this and, you know, use popcorn to brush your teeth and all of the things that you see. And I look at them and go, why is this a thing? And do people really do this? Tia decided that my intellectual curiosity was not enough. She wants to actually try it out.
For the good people out there.
For the people.
You know? For
the
people. We try it out so you don't have to do it at home, right?
Great idea. And then what else? Don't you have an interview?
We have an interview.
Okay.
We're actually going to have a very, very interesting interviewee today in the studio here with us.
Great.
Frank Rothstein. Yep. Did I say that right?
I think so. Morten is nodding his head yes.
By the way.
Morten is always nodding his head yes, so we have no idea.
We have to introduce as well.
Morten Whitrock.
Our fantastic
producer. And lion tamer, and basically the guy who kind of keeps us.
He's walking on a tightrope right
now.
He
has a hard job. He tries to keep us under control.
In a tutu.
But it doesn't work.
He's really cute.
I did not need that visual first thing in the morning.
All right.
So anyway, that's the show, and it's going to be a good one, and we're looking forward to getting started. Why don't you start with the news?
Let's start with news.
Okay.
Copenhagen is apparently one of the friendliest cities to be in.
As compared to, say, you know, Beirut? Or
according to this new study by Business Insider called Sociable Cities, Copenhagen is among the most friendly cities in the world.
Okay.
And this is a study which analyzes the social behavior and attitudes of over 12,000 residents from 40 cities in 28 countries. And Copenhagen is number 6 on the list.
I actually have seen a little bit about this study, and I understand Copenhagen ranked highly in a number of categories. It's a sociable city. According to the residents, are the second most liberal thinking about other people's lifestyles in the world was one of the things that that appealed to the Business Insider.
Well, actually, you know, another Scandinavian city, Gothenburg, that was number 1.
Really?
And
number 1?
Number 1.
Friendliest city in the world?
Is in Sweden.
Wow.
Well, they are pretty friendly.
Does Donald Trump know this?
I don't think he does.
He thinks Sweden is under siege. City's on fire.
But yeah, after Gothenburg and Stockholm and Copenhagen, I mean, then it was all the U.S. I mean, it had Chicago, Boston, New York, and that's number 5.
New York City was number 5, friendliest city. I like New York a lot. I've been there many times, yeah.
Well, but we love Copenhagen as well.
It's a great city. It's on the overall, around the world, it's certainly one of the most pleasant and friendly places that I've been.
And now, also, one of the most expensive cities to travel to.
Tourist-wise, yeah, I think there are many people that would agree with that. Not the first time I've seen that statistic.
Yes, Copenhagen has been ranked the 3rd most expensive tourism destination based on average hotel, food, drink, taxi, and entertainment costs per person per night based on a list by airport transfer firm Hoppe. And Copenhagen ranked 5th in terms of the price of hotel accommodation for a night for 2 people, 1st actually for a cup of coffee, 4th for a burger, 9th for a pint of beer, 8th for a cocktail, and 4th for a meal for 2.
Okay, but so it sort of like adds up all of the things together to come up with the mean of why it's so expensive to be here. You said it's number 3. I'm guessing one of the other cities was New York.
As we mentioned before, New York is a wonderful place, very friendly, but also 2nd when it comes to spending money in one night.
Okay.
And number one. Actually Zurich. In Switzerland.
Zurich and Switzerland.
That's the priciest place to be. The cheapest city is also in Europe.
Really?
It's, the cheapest city is Sofia.
Where?
That's a very affordable destination.
Where is that?
It's the capital of Bulgaria, Ray.
I knew that. No, I didn't.
Yep, Sofia, Cario, Bucharest, and Antalya are very, very cheap destinations to go to. Were you at all around a TV set on Sunday? Because you know, last time we talked about it, I even played you a little elevator music.
Oh, yes, you played me the elevator music from the fine Oscar program.
Wow, what a turnout. Apparently, it's not La La Land.
Yeah.
It's Moonlight.
I heard something about that. Now, you know, full disclosure, Tia is more of a movie buff than I am. So this was like a big part of her conversation when she came in today. And I've actually discussed it with you. So apparently there was a mistake made somewhere along the line.
Yeah, there was a mistake made by Warren Beatty, who was the presenter.
Okay.
And he was standing there with Faye Dunaway. And he apparently had the wrong envelope.
Bonnie and
Clyde?
I don't
know how that happens. I don't know who gave it to him. But he had the one actually for the best actress, Emma Stone, who actually got the Oscar from the movie La La Land.
For La La Land, okay.
He opened the card from the envelope. He showed it to Faye Dunaway. And then he just sort of said, best movie, La La Land.
But that was not the best movie,
apparently. That was not the best movie.
That was not the one that won, anyway. I have no idea.
Then somebody corrected him and, you know, was very adamant about, no, no, it's actually Moonlight. No, it's not a joke. It's actually Moonlight.
So this happened live?
This happened live.
Nice.
Yes, and it was just as gut-wrenching and just as awkward and just as horrible when last year Steve Harvey made the Miss Universe mistake. Which
it was a Steve Harvey moment. Is that what we call that? A Steve Harvey moment. You know, it's amazing to me that on shows with this kind of budget, that these kind of mistakes can happen. And I mean, I've seen everything now. Of course, the conspiracy theories were that somebody wanted to give the Academy Award to a white movie and not a black movie. And it was done, you know, I've even seen Trump's name thrown in the mix here. That somehow or another, he was behind it. And, you know, I think having been many times in the position of being a presenter, it was just a mistake. Hmm. It was just a mistake. That's all. Someone messed up envelopes or suitcases or whatever, but it was just an error.
I mean, even Steve Harvey, he kind of shouted out to Warren Beatty on Twitter saying, you know, you can get through this. He says, call me Warren Beatty. I can help you get through this.
I really think that Warren Beatty, given who he is and what he's done in his whole life, I think he's probably over it already.
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of interesting when you were the first one to point out to me that it was Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. So that meant Bonnie and Clyde were on stage together.
Basically.
I thought that was great. Now, you had one other story you told me about.
Well, I guess everybody who is in Copenhagen and maybe even outside knows of the world's best restaurant that we have here, Noma.
Noma.
And Noma, get ready, names their dishwasher a partner in their business.
You mean one of the actual employees of the restaurant is now a partner in...
Not a machine.
Okay.
I know.
But anyway, we're talking about a human, you know, Ali's uncle. He is he's kind of a famous face of Noma in a way because you remember when they won, I think, the World's Best Restaurant Award 3 years in a row. They wanted Ali to go to the UK to be there as part of the celebration, and the authorities in the UK would not give him a visa. Do you remember how he was represented?
Yeah, they printed T-shirts with his beautiful, huge, smiling face on.
And I thought that was a lovely gesture.
They're so lovely.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's been a big part of the thing. You were telling
he was washing dishes at the restaurant for 13 years.
Wow, he is a big part of the whole success of Noma, which of course is one of the really first places that started people thinking about Copenhagen as a gastro city. Now, you told me something else about Ali that I didn't know until you mentioned it before.
Oh, yes.
He's a busy fellow outside the restaurant as well.
Well, just listen to what René Redzepi, the chef, says about him. Ali is Noma's soul. I do not think people understand how much it means to have someone in the house like Ali, who is always happy and smiling, no matter how it's going, with his 12 children.
12 children. Well, okay. Okay, well, then, you know, this is definitely a bump for he and his family. And I think you know that Renee's father also worked as a dishwasher when he arrived in the country as an immigrant from Macedonia. So I think that he has a real connection to the people that work for him.
I agree. And I mean, NOMA is expanding. It is actually scheduled to reopen in a new venue.
Okay.
On the Reefshelleun on December the 1st.
You said you had an interview.
We have an interview coming up, that's right, with musician Frank Rothstein.
Oh, that'd be great.
I love saying that name.
I know, you're just so excited about saying the name. He doesn't even have to show up. You're very pleased about the whole thing. And then we're going to...
And then we're going to have our How Is This a Thing?
I don't know How Is This a Thing. How Is This a Thing? I have no idea.
Okay. That doesn't mean that we're going to let go of a surprise segment. That's going to continue.
That'll be back.
We just thought we were going to bring you something new, podcast listeners.
Stick around.
Stay tuned. So we have finally arrived to our brand new segment called...
Spanking new.
How Is This a Thing?
How Is This a Thing?
In which we will test either a life hack or an item, some kind of a strange purchase that you've done way too early in the morning on eBay or Amazon.
Yeah.
Send us your ideas to our email address.
This one that I'm looking at... this one is very interesting.
We're going to start with something easy, you know, as the first segment, first episode. And you've found life hack.
The reason that I found this fascinating is because I want to see if it works, of course. But what we have here...
It's very simple. You can actually try it out at home.
Tell people what you're holding.
I have probably the most important item that we use, all of us, every day.
I'm not going to argue with you there.
It's a telephone.
Yes.
It's a smartphone. So I have that in one of my hands. And in the other hand, I have yet another very useful item. Or actually, this is not very useful. It's what is this, Ray?
That is a toilet paper roll.
Correct.
But it is empty of the toilet paper.
So it's just the remaining tube.
And now it has a hole in it with thumbtacks stuck in the bottom.
Yes.
Creating a little stand to set the...
We fashioned together our tiny legs for it.
Yes, that's what... Legs, good word.
And there's also a hole. There's a slit there exactly the size of the smartphone. So the smartphone can go inside the tube.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that if you fashion this little stand together very, very quickly,
okay,
then you not only have an iPhone stand,
okay,
you have...
a speaker.
Amazing.
I don't know if it works. We don't know. We haven't tried it. We wanted to do it cold here on the air. But my question is, who is using the restroom for the intention that it's used for, sees an empty toilet paper roll and goes, damn, that'll make a hell of a speaker.
You have to have ambiance no matter what.
Who thinks of this stuff and how is it a thing?
Shall we see if it's a thing?
Let's see if it works.
Okay.
Can we get that other microphone down there so we can hear from the? Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. See if we want to get the sound without it.
So,
without the toilet paper.
The moment of truth, dear podcast listeners. I am placing the phone inside our tube.
Yeah, in the tube. It's in the tube.
Okay. It's in now. It's standing on its little legs.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to play a fantastic song.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, first, I should play it without. Ooh.
A little more.
All right.
Okay,
so
now.
That's the sound without the device.
Okay. Now you're going to put
it. Let's put it in.
She is now putting it in the thing, and she's going
to... It is now inside the device. I have several witnesses.
Yeah.
And
it's louder.
Is it?
It's louder.
Okay, this is a thing.
Someone had a burrito at 7-Eleven, and after using the paper, wisely thought of this.
Dear podcast listeners, you can put us in a toilet paper tube now.
There you go. You can put Tia and I in a tube and we will be louder. So now, Tia, you have to explain why we chose that wonderful song and what folks are actually listening to.
Well,
because there is actually a method to this complete madness.
There is. There is. We've used a song from an interviewee's repertoire today, and he is right here with us in the studio. Welcome, Frank Rothstein. Did I say that right?
Thank you. Rothstein.
I told you, she loves to say your name.
Said it three times.
I just keep saying it.
Yeah.
I just call him Frankie.
In English, I think it's Rothstein.
Rothstein, yes. Oh. Rothstein, yeah. But tell him about Frank.
There was an old gangster called Rothstein in the movie called Casino with Sharon Stone.
That's really cool.
I didn't know that.
Arnold Rothstein.
I did.
Sam.
But Frank, you are cool on many levels. You are a musician.
Yes, I am.
He's a great musician, a rockabilly musician, a piano player, drummer, singer. He's a well-known guy here in Copenhagen and gets around a lot. You were just in Finland, weren't you?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Playing rockabilly.
I was in Finland, but, Helsinki.
I think one of the main reasons we want to talk to Frank right now is Frank has a new record out on the scene. Mm. Tell people about that.
Tell us about your new record.
Well, I just released a little EP on vinyl and also on the internet, Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff. Four tracks. I've been written one with myself, with Morten Widrock, my producer, and Ray Weaver sitting here. We just made the Hurricane Boogie.
The Hurricane Boogie.
Hurricane Boogie. And then there's three other tracks. Old stuff, old 50s style, rockabilly, swingish, jump blues.
Yeah, unfortunately our listeners can't see you, but you definitely have a very kind of Elvis vibe.
Yeah, I like that rockabilly style. I like that old school style.
I always said Frank looks like the most incredible combination of your third grade teacher and the coolest rockabilly cat you've ever seen. Because he's got.
I am a teacher.
I know, and he is a teacher, so it works out fine, you know.
Yeah. And so you're a teacher by day and a rockabilly singer by night.
Yeah, not anymore. I've been a teacher for 15 years, but now I just want to play music.
What kind of teacher? Music teacher.
Music teacher, sports, English, Danish, history, everything.
Fantastic.
He's a smart guy, Frank.
Yeah. What drew you to this genre? Was it something your parents listened to? Did you find it in the attic?
Well, I was a child. I grew up in Albertslund. And everybody, they heard Wham, George Michael, and Depeche Mode, and they were dancing this electric boogie stuff. And I thought it was so silly. And I listened to Shaking Stevens instead. And then later on, one of my friends introduced me to Stevie Ray Vaughan, which is Texas blues.
Oh yeah, he is fantastic.
That's not rockabilly, but it's close. Mm. And I like that Texas style, rock and roll style. And after that, another friend of mine introduced me to real rockabilly stuff and old 50s stuff as well.
Are you, you've been in the rockabilly genre for a long time. I remember
25 years.
Yeah, you had some groups. I was going to say some years ago, but you've continued with it. And what's always interested me when I talk to you, you know, about music is that there's a big culture of that all around Europe. There are rockabilly fans everywhere around Europe. Yeah,
especially in southern Europe, Spain, France, Italy. There's a lot of rockabilly festivals. The environment of the rockabilly stuff in Denmark is not that big, but I think we are about 200 rockabillies in Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's quite big in Germany, quite big in Sweden as well, and Norway, Finland.
Do you work to keep the? When you talk about it, I know you want to talk about the older guys, the original guys and stuff. But are you also trying to make new music in the same style? I mean, I know that's what you're doing here. Are there other guys out there making new records in the same style?
Yeah, there's a lot of people, a lot of modern rockabilly bands making modern rockabilly songs, new songs, almost always releasing on vinyl.
Because
It's interesting to me because this is a very fixed style. This music. Are you trying in any way to reinvent it, make it your own, doing like, I don't know, kind of like a jazzy or maybe classical music twist to it? Or would that be too strange?
That would be too strange, I think. Actually, there's rockabilly, and there's also a genre called psychobilly.
Psychobilly, yeah.
Which is a mix between death metal and... very fast rockabilly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's what you run into, and I think you've told me this before, is that you run into this thing where you run into real purists, rockabilly purists, and they want you to keep it exactly the way it was and record it the way it used to be recorded. So you have that that specific sound and that specific style. Psychobilly, pretty much anything goes. I think I've heard some crazy records on that, in that style.
Yeah, and I think that, that rockabilly is kind of divided into the new modern rockabilly stuff called neo-rockabilly, actually, and the old school stuff, which I prefer.
Yeah.
I like the old black guys playing like Big Joe Turner and Pete Johnson and the late 40s stuff, because everyone I talk to about rockabilly, they say, oh, that's Grease or that's Elvis. And no, it's not Grease, the movie, and it's not only Elvis. It's much more than that.
Yeah, you find some, so, I mean, I've heard you do some songs, old Tennessee Ernie Ford songs and stuff like that, that even I forgot about, that you're like, you know, you reinvent in your own style and you play them.
Old Hank Williams as well.
Yeah, you play that in your, and you have that sound and also the look, as Tia pointed out, you have the look and then when you're out with your...
So this is the kind of stuff that we can all look forward to in your new album, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Where can
we
get it, by the way?
Soundstation in Gamle Kongevej, Frederiksberg. And the Hipcat store in Sweden, Lund. And then it's electronic, it's digital platforms.
So what do you want us to play, Frank? What would you like people to hear?
I think we should play Hurricane Boogie, which we wrote ourselves.
Okay.
We went to Dallas to record a one track with a terrific singer called Teresa James. And after we recorded with her, we went to a concert with her and Mr. Delbert McClinton, the greatest musician in the world, I think. And during that concert, we were evacuated because of hurricane warning.
Wow.
So we went home and we wrote this song about that event.
Hurricane Boogie. And Frank, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. It was fantastic to have you.
You're welcome.
Postcast listeners, make sure to get his album.
49 Women, which we'll ask him about another time.
I only need one more.
The Dallas air, I turned red and warm. Oh, the thunder broke the Dallas air, I turned red and warm. It was a bonfire, open fire, Texas thunderstorm. We kicked off all boots and we jitterbugged in the rain. Yes, we kicked off all boots and we jitterbugged in the rain. But it's gonna be a boogie woogie hurricane, yeah. Oh, we're the hurricane. Cowboy Calypso, we need the hurricane boogie to the Gulf of Mexico. Like the fat man said, let them four winds blow.
That was Hurricane Boogie.
That was good. I don't know about you, Tia, but I think this has been one of our most fun podcasts.
I think we had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun. Maybe too much.
We're going to take it down a notch.
Okay.
In our next episode.
Are you sure? Maybe.
No promises.
But let's remind people what this whole thing is about. Why do we have this podcast?
For the Copenhagen Post, the newspaper, the only English language newspaper in Denmark.
Last one.
All the things that we talk about, news-wise, and everything else, you can get in the hard copy of the newspaper. Which is
available.
Still a thing.
It's still a thing.
But if you can go out and can get it, then it's also available online at cphpost.dk.
That's right.
And you can also write to us.
Please do.
At podcast@cphpost.dk.
If you go to iTunes, leave us a review. That helps us move up in the rankings. That helps other people find the show. So that'd be great.
We are really, really looking forward to your new suggestions. What should we test?
What should we test next time? What should we test next time? Please try to keep the latex items to a minimum.
We have our very talented producer, Morten Whitlock.
Over there.
Our fantastic interviewee.
No, you say it. You say it so much better.
Frank Wittstein.
Yeah.
My buddy Frankie, yes.
I'm Tia Hoka.
I'm Ray Weaver. Thanks.
Thanks for listening.